All right, if you have your lesson there, in our last lesson, we looked at the start of James' examination of his third witness as he makes his case. So we looked at the start of James' examination of his third witness as he makes his case for true faith naturally producing works. Okay, and by the way, that is as simple as faith and works is. That's as simple. Don't make it any more complicated than that, folks. Faith, real, true Christian faith, will naturally produce works. Just as an apple tree will bear apples. Okay? That's what God is saying here, that James and Paul, they don't disagree with each other. So far he is called, and we know the first witness he called was Brother Warmed and Filled. Okay? Brother Warmed and Filled said that somebody came to his door destitute of daily food and in need, and he patted him on the head and said, "Well, go ahead, have a nice day." No, that's not real faith. Amen. That's not real faith. Okay? And so he failed the test of faith. The second one to fail the test of faith was Brother Faith with No Works. Okay? I know it's a bit of a long name. I think it's Polish. Amen. Brother Faith with No Worksky. How about that? That's a little better. Amen. His faith did not pass the test either. James said, "Look, you say you have faith. I'll show you my faith." Amen? Boy, and that's the way the Christian ought to be. There's no pride in that. There's no saying, "Well, just watch me so I have real faith." He says, our faith is proved by our works. The things we do, the things we don't do. Amen? Amen? And so we had Brother Faith with No Works. And then last week, we started with Brother Abraham, whose faith did pass the test. And we started with, I believe, 2 points here. The first 2 points, we had the temptation in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And again, great quote here by Lehman Strauss. It'll help you with this passage. Paul looks at the cause of justification and sees it from God's viewpoint. James looks at the effects of justification and sees it from man's viewpoint. We put it this way. Paul deals with the vertical. There's only one way that a man is justified before God, and that's by faith. James says the only way that a man is justified before other men is by his works. Okay? Paul vertical, James horizontal. Okay? So we have the temptation there. And we talked about there Romans 4:2. The temptation there is to look at this and say, that's a contradiction to Paul. No, it's not. Okay, Roman number two, we have the triumph. Okay, Mount Moriah was the high point of Abraham's journey of faith. Okay, it was the high point. But by the way, it wasn't the starting point. Amen? It wasn't the starting point. Okay? Number three, let's look at the truth. The truth. Okay? And we referenced Genesis 22, but let's go back just a couple pages in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 22, the reference there is Abraham and Isaac going up Mount Moriah and Abraham being willing, ready to offer his son because God had told him to. But as it so often does, the New Testament sheds so much light on those Old Testament accounts. Sometimes we read the Old Testament account and you think, wow, boy, Abraham, he was just an inch away from putting that knife into Isaac. I'll tell you what, you read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 with me, and you see what kind of faith Abraham really had. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, verse 19 is the key. It's the key. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This is the point of the whole text here. You have your outline. This is the point of the whole text. That is that Abraham's faith was proven to be real by his works. Okay? They are partners working together. And we have the word there, teleio, the Greek word, teleio. And that word there, you see it in verse number 22 back in James. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, teleio, complete. Okay? That work, faith and works complete faith. And that's what both of them are saying. Is if you just have faith, that is not complete faith. If you just have works, you may have plenty of good works, but no faith at all. Okay? He said they're partners. They're Siamese twins. Amen? That's the truth that James is trying to point out to us here. Okay? So we see there the truth. Number four, I want you to notice the trust in verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Here James, now remind you, here in the beginning of this passage, he's accounting the high watermark of Abraham's faith. Here he goes back to the beginning of Abraham's faith. Back in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6. Why don't you go back there, amen, and we'll look at it together. Book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 15, in verse 6. And let's look, if we could, look down at verse 1. We'll read a little bit here. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a great verse that is, huh? Amen. It says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And so what Abraham is saying here is, Lord, you know, is it going to be Eliezer that'll be the heir? He'll be the one that receives the promises. And then if you look at verse number 4, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. It's not going to be this Eliezer. But he shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, or count them. Count up the stars. He said, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And here's the key, the beginning of Abraham's faith here. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Okay, so on your outline, back in James, on your outline, here James recounts the beginning of Abraham's faith. The outgrowth of the works at Moriah were based upon the trust placed in God by Abraham some 60 plus years earlier. That is very important, folks. Otherwise, you get the order wrong. How many of you have been saved more than 40 years? Raise your hand. Oh, several of you. How many of you think you have more faith and more works now than you did when you first got saved? Of course. Of course. It's a natural outgrowth. And see, this is where Bible critics, and always beware of a Bible critic. Beware of two people, a Bible scholar and a Bible critic. Because they're usually one and the same, amen? They get to be Bible correctors, amen? They get to know in more Greek than God does, amen? Here, James and Paul, they're complementing each other. They're like gears and splines. They're meshing together. Works and faith, they go together, okay? So the trust, we have the temptation, the triumph, the truth, the trust. Oh, I love number 5. Look at verse 23 again, the back half of the verse. And says, and he was called the friend of God. Number 5 is the testimony. Abraham, this man of faith that was proven by his works. Oh, says he was called the friend of God. Go with me over. Let's look at those cross references there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. In verse number 7. Appreciated so much in our deacon's meeting last night. Brother Salmon's had the devotion and great emphasis on the Word of God. Just running the Scriptures. I love doing that, Brother Tom. Amen. Just running those cross-references. Just line upon line, precept upon precept. It's where doctrine is built. Amen. By the way, beware of people that just take one verse and make it mean whatever they want it to mean. That's taking a verse out of context, and that's how cults are started. Amen. We believe in the whole truth. Amen. All the revelation. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So how do we know Abraham's called the friend of God? Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7. It said, "Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?" It's called the friend of God. Go over, if you would, there to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. See another great verse here. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 8. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Remember when Jesus was, I don't want to say arguing, but they were debating with Jesus in John chapter 8. And they said, the Jews said, "Listen, we're the children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to any men." By the way, that was one of the dumbest things they could have ever said. Weren't they in Egypt? Weren't they in Babylon? They've been in bondage a few times. And I think they were in Rome at the time. They said, we're the children of Abraham. You know what Jesus said? "Hey, if you were children of Abraham, you'd rejoice. Because you know what? Before Abraham was, I am." And you know what else he said? "Abraham saw me and rejoiced that it was my day." You know why? Because God and Abraham were friends. You know, he's the only one besides one other person in the Old Testament called the friend of God. Moses was called God's friend. He said he spoke to God face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Quite a testimony, amen. And by the way, what was it that gave him that testimony? Faith and works. Faith and works gave him that testimony, okay? So he was called God's friend on your outline there. Therefore, he is given the title of God's friend. So, back to James. We have the temptation. The temptation is to say there's a contradiction between Paul and James. No. Paul looks at the cause of justification, sees it from God's viewpoint. James looks at the effects of justification, sees it from man's viewpoint. Then we have the triumph. What's Abraham's triumph of faith? Moriah, which was proved by his works. He thought, literally, if he would have taken that knife and plunged it into Isaac, he said God is so good by his word that he would have had to raise him from the dead because he promised seed through Isaac. Well, that's faith right there. Amen. By the way, you know what faith is? Faith is just believing what God said. Believing what God said. People look at us, and now I believe Satan is doing a masterful job at marginalizing the church, churches like ours, because we simply believe what this book says. That's it. No debate. No. We're not going to have classes on why this is that way. We believe God's book. That's it. And Satan is marginalized. That's just faith. That's faith. I'm glad when I got saved that the preacher preached and he said, "The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Brother Hauser, that's as true 18 years ago as it was today, or it is today as it was 18 years ago when I got saved. You know why? Because I placed my faith in what God said. That's what Abraham did. And because he did, it produced works. It produced works. Lastly, tonight, we have the temptation, we have the triumph, we have the truth. What's the truth? Faith. Works makes faith perfect. It completes it. Okay? What's the trust? It's where Abraham's faith started, some 60 plus years before Moriah. The testimony, he was called the friend of God. And then lastly tonight, the test. Look at James chapter 2, verse 24. What's the test? You see then how that by works is a man justified, not by faith only. Okay? What's the test? The test of works. John Phillips says it better than I ever could. I was reading his little book on James. I said, my goodness, that's perfect. He says, James does not advocate works as a means of salvation. Listen, folks, get that out of your mind. James is not saying, see, it's by works that a person is saved. He's saying that our works justify us before other men. He does say that works are a proof of salvation. And to that I say, amen. Amen. They're a proof of salvation. More than that, he points out, and I love this, he points out that works are the practical response of the believing heart. Again, it's just natural. It really is. And I hate to use that term natural because we refer to the natural man, the old nature. Let me just tell you this. It's part of the natural spiritual progression. Just like God tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. It's just natural that a baby wants milk. Amen? And they'll let you know, as I'm going to find out here in another month. Amen? You know what? It's natural that a baby Christian would want to do something for the one that saved them. Right. It's even more natural that adult Christians would want to help people become Christians. It's just natural. Works complete faith. That's what they do. They're not a substitute. They're a supplement. Amen. They go together. Father, thank you for this passage, Lord. Thank you for what it says. Lord, how it convicts us. Lord, we examine ourselves, first of all, whether we be in the faith, and then secondly, Lord, what are we doing for you?